afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, July 23rd, 2021. I hear you there, Butch. Good afternoon. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you very much.
When I heard you whistling to the tune, I knew she's going to be in a good mood. Always a good sign if you hear a lady whistling. I mean, she's probably going to be in a good mood. But anyway, I'm glad you're doing well.
You know, it's funny. One of the first programs after Bob Chapman left us, and we were just kind of having fun. It was around the holidays, and we had a Name That Tune program where I whistled Christmas music. And people call in and name that tune, and then they won a silver eagle. If they named whoever named it right got the silver eagle. So,
That's a nice idea.
There was always silver involved or gold. Something was involved in our little games that we play. So, maybe we'll have to think of another game to play.
I like that. That's a good idea. Good advertising, too, but good idea.
Yeah, well, not only that, it's fun.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
It's always good to give something back and allow the listeners who support us for so many years and so forth. So we'll have to think of something. Or maybe that should be the test. Have the listeners send us
think of something.
Game ideas.
Yes. Well, it is humbling when you have people that have been with you for 15, 20 years. It is humbling to know that they're still out there and they're still with you. I mean, that's friendship. Even though you never meet them face to face, they're always there. That is friendship.
Well, not only that, we work hard in order to make sure they do come back. But on the radio programs, it is a little different because, it's like, well, I don't envision myself being that good that people want to come back and listen every single day. They do, and that is humbling.
It is humbling.
That is humbling. And it makes you just want to keep, trying to find the truth and correct those that even if they're just a little confused and so forth. So I am very thankful. I am very thankful and very, it's
appreciative.
It is
appreciative.
Humbling.
Appreciative.
It is humbling.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. It truly is. I've learned over a lot of years, been in radio. I've heard different talk show hosts, and some of them are highly intelligent and very, very well spoken. But their delivery, their care in their voice didn't come through like it does mm-hmm. in yours. And that's why people think sometimes tune back in because they know Melody's telling the truth and she cares. A lot of them come across, and I'm not saying they're not telling the truth, but they don't have that. Love in their voice, that really concern. And that I've seen that difference in people on talk shows. And I see a lot of them come and go, much better speakers than I am, but they come and go. They don't hang in there because people want to know that you really care, not just you just try and sell them something.
Yeah, exactly. So it's so we thank you all. So if you want to send me an idea, no phone calls. I hate to say that, no phone calls. But if you want to send me a note, P.O. Box 276, Berlin, Maryland, 21811. Or send me an email at discountgoldandsilver@yahoo.com. And anyway, gold today was playing a little bit of a game and lost. It was lost $5.20 at 1,802. Silver was down 27 cents at $25.29. Platinum was down $32 at $1,066. Palladium was down 48 at 2,758. And let's go see what the dollar did today. Was up 92.89 at 0.04 to the upside. Crude oil was up 12 cents at 72.03. And it was a happy day and everything. Major averages close at a record, the big headline reads. The Dow was up 238 points, 35,061. The S&P was up 44, 4,411. The NASDAQ was up 152, 14,836. You know, it's really interesting, Butch. I mean, Friday we had almost a 1,000-point drop, and everybody was, you know, tearing their hair out. And here comes Friday, and it's like, you know, we're back in the paper. We're back in the paper.
All you have to do is flip a switch, and right back up it goes. I don't know how they do it, but they do it quite well. And normally, when the market takes a hit like that, gold and silver really take off. This time, it didn't. You know,
the logic behind it all is because I believe the markets know that they're going to bring it back.
Oh, yes.
Because they know how the markets work. And they will do everything in their power to protect it.
They have to bring
it
back.
When it really hits and the markets wake up to the tune that, gee, they can't pull it back, that's when you're going to see, you know, the gold and silver rise. And, you know, Yellen, I don't know if you have this for discussion today. Yellen?
Yes.
Urges Congress?
Yep, well, I got that. That's my second article. I got it here, but we'll get to it.
But, all the European markets were higher overnight. Asia, Shanghai and the Hang Seng was down. You know, the Hang Seng was down a little over almost 1.5%, 400 points. The Nikkei was higher. And let's go take a peek at what the 10-year yield is doing. 1.28. So even that is compared to what it was in the beginning of the week when it was breaking down on that yield. I wonder how much money it cost the government and the Fed to turn it around. I wonder what it cost them. You know, how many billions of dollars?
It cost us.
True.
It cost
Very
us.
Very true. How much did it cost us so everybody can have great retirement accounts?
Won't buy anything, but you have more money coming in.
Yeah.
This is a different topic, but have you noticed that the increase of food in restaurants? Have you been out eating out lately and saw how much it's going up in price?
It has.
And
yes,
drive-thru also, but the restaurant food prices are ridiculous. I just told Marsh last night, we're not going to do this very often anymore. It's getting so high, it's just out of sight. There's just no point in it. You know, it's just going through the roof. And even in drive-thru, it's the same thing. I said, we're going to cut back on this a little bit because we're spending hundreds of dollars here that we don't need to spend. We're doing something else because the food's getting so ridiculous. I'm sure it's going to be the same thing in grocery stores already is, but at least I get the groceries, bring them home. And it's just getting us out of sight. I'm sure everybody sees that. And I got my tax bill, by the way, for the property. I hate property taxes.
Oh,
they
I
went
do
up
too.
Again
Mine
this year.
Went up.
Mine did too. They go up every year a little bit. Every year, I don't know, not a fortune, but $50, $100, whatever. But they keep going up. And it really makes me angry because I do not own a place I paid for 20-some years.
Yeah.
It's not my property.
No, it isn't.
If I don't pay that, they will take my property and auction it off for the taxes. Folks, that's not private property. That is not even biblical, but it is what it is. Go ahead, Melody. I'll be quiet now. That's one of pet peeves.
Don't get me started because I hate mine went up by more than a couple $100.
I'm thinking mine went up by $100, I think.
Well, I was shocked. I mean, it was a big difference. But eating out in restaurants, you know, I'd like to think I got into a point in life where the price on the menu is the last thing I look at, you know, because I know I'm only 39, but, you know, and I have been shocked.
It's just
because
unbelievable.
I get the bill and it's like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
It's well, like, but I only had that.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And it's the point where I even check the menu to make sure that I was charged properly.
I agree.
And I'm past the point in my life where I don't go to a restaurant based on, you know, how much I can spend. And it's shocking. And you're right, Butch. I don't go out as much. I don't mind eating at home.
I don't either. It's not, Marsh and I are not wealthy by any means, but we're not starving to death, obviously. But, you know, the money, we don't have enough money to just throw out there and throw it around like it's nothing. I mean, we don't have that kind of money. When the food price up in the restaurant goes up for four people, increases $20 in a bill, that adds up pretty quick.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to cut back a little bit. I had no choice, really. I can't, in good conscience, I just can't keep doing that, knowing I have other things I should invest in. But you go ahead. I'll be quiet on that now.
No, I mean, I agree. And I think it's going to take a lot of folks, you know, by surprise, because they get the same surprise that we do. It's like, what? Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, that just now cost me this much and that much. And, you know, and then you kind of put it away, and eventually it catches up to you. And then it's like, well, I'm going to have to start cutting back. And then they go from there. So food prices, are rising.
Oh. And we haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't.
And look at the drought.
Oh, that's what we're going to discuss about that in a minute, too. Yes.
And causing widespread crop failures.
Absolutely.
On a massive scale. What
Absolutely.
Do you think is that going to happen to food prices?
And in California, they grow most of the vegetables and the fruits and nuts of the country. They actually do grow most of them in this country. And they absolutely have nothing. We're going to discuss a little bit, too, about now they have water thieves.
Let's do this.
Beans and gallons of water.
Since we're talking about food and food prices, why don't we go ahead and start talking about that, about the drought
right,
that is happening in the western U.S. that's causing these widespread crop failures. And they have record high temperatures in the Pacific Northwest. We talked about the salmon just a week ago.
Well, you know, and I know that this is not unheard of probably anywhere. It's supposed to be 97 degrees here on this coming Wednesday. When we get to 90, some of the towns in our state have free lemonade day. 90 is not common here. Right now it's 88 degrees out here right now. Supposed to be 97 degrees here on Wednesday, which is really so rare. I don't remember the last time we hit anywhere near that. But so it's moving this way. And a lot of the clouds we have were not clouds. It was smoke. No rain in them. It was smoke. They're clearing up now. But we had smoke really thick in the air. You can smell it. So this is, folks, this is happening. The apocalyptic drought in the western U.S. is causing widespread crop failures on a massive scale. Oh, gosh. At a time when food prices are already rising aggressively, agriculture production in the United States is being absolutely devastated by a drought that many are calling the worst in American history. Once again this week, the latest U.S. drought monitor map is extremely bad news for us. In all the years that I've been writing, we have never experienced anything like we are experiencing right now. As I write this article, 100% of the state of California is in a state of drought, and you should care very much about that, because California produces about a third of its vegetables, two-thirds of fruits and nuts. Of course, it is not just California that's facing an unprecedented nightmare right now. At this point, drought is covering more territory in the western states than we've ever seen before. So, Melanie, we're not just seeing a drought. We're seeing a record-breaking drought. And that has to hurt a lot of things. Record high temperatures in the Pacific Northwest and other parts of the West Coast, along with prolonged drought in those areas in the upper Midwest, are stressing crops and livestock and raising concerns about irrigation supplies as the condition persists. The U.S. drought monitor, as of July 13, showed 100% of all states, listen to this, 100% of all states west of the Rocky Mountains and most of the upper Midwest region in some level of drought. California, Oregon, Arizona, Idaho, Utah, and North Dakota were nearly 100% severe drought or worse, with extreme and exceptional the most severe. Washington, Montana, South Dakota, Minnesota, New Mexico, most of Wyoming, and western Colorado all were in moderate or worse drought. 2020 was a bad year, but this time last year, only about 20% of the West was experiencing severe drought. Today, that number is up to 80%.
Wow.
That is huge. That is huge. And on top of that, go ahead.
And the thing of it is, it's just not like it's going to rain.
No.
And everything's, it takes how long?
It would take months of rain catch up.
About a year. Well,
it would take months of rain.
But I mean, I'm talking about the crops.
Yeah, the crop too. But it take months of rain, they'll even fill the reservoirs again.
Yep.
And thieves in California are stealing scarce water amid extreme drought, devastating some communities. As an extreme drought gripped California, making water While increasingly scarce, thieves are making off with billions of gallons of the precious resource, tapping into fire hydrants, rivers, and even small family homes and farms. State and local officials say water theft is a long-running issue, but the intensifying drought has driven the thefts to record levels as reservoirs dry up and bandits make off with stolen water, often cultivate the growth of illegal marijuana crops. Water stealing has never been more severe, said John Norris, head of the California Department of Fish and Wildlife Marijuana Enforcement Team. Agency had been fighting the thefts for years, usually in rural areas of parched state that have been devastating the communities, he said. More than 12 billion gallons of water are estimated to have been stolen across the state since 2013, impacting legitimate farming operations, drinking water sources, Native American tribes, and small communities.
It there really is amazing. Yeah. And I just want to go back to that information about the food. According to Bloomberg, the U.S. oat crop will be the smallest that we have seen since records began in 1866.
Wow.
1866, not 1966, 1866. It's going to be, and how many farmers do you think are going to go out of business also? One farm in Minnesota, the owner is estimating that he will not be able to harvest hardly anything at all from the 2,500 acres of corn that he planted. I mean, it just goes in Canada. Farmers are saying that the unprecedented heat dome that they have just witnessed literally cooked a lot of the fruit while it was still on the branches.
Wow.
Cooked
wow.
The fruit.
And
I mean,
go ahead.
I mean, this is really
severe.
Unbelievable.
Severe.
And it's just not this country that's having production problems.
No, Brazil, South America are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the, and you got to stop and think too, when the wheat crops and the grains fail, corn fails, livestock don't get fed, or if they do get fed, the price goes through the roof, and that means, of course, the price of meat's going to go up. Everything you purchase at the store is going to go up, because about everything needs grain to survive, including chickens,
mm-hmm.
you know, and poultry of all kinds. So, folks, I'm not one to scare you. I'm not really not, but I'm feeling the pinch already, and we haven't got started yet. So I'm just sharing from my perspective that you may want to think ahead a little bit and do something to preserve something for the future, because it's going to be tough.
The owner and CEO of a Manhattan-based grocery chain, Gristeds, Gristeds Foods, he told Fox Business that Americans can expect higher prices for the basic expenses. He's talking about 10 to 14% food inflation just by October.
Wow.
10 to 14 just by October. So we're heading into a break. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TimUpRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. It always tickles me when someone calls in and says, I know your number by heart. It's the only number I remember. So it always tickles me. But visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter, and I don't know if we're finishing up about the food short. Well, the food inflation, 10-14%, just coming by October. Can you even imagine what 2022 is going to be? So, there might be food available, but can you afford it? Well, I'm sure there'll always be something, but
It costs $10 now. It costs $11.40 in October.
Yes.
Folks, think about
and
that.
We don't know what it'll be in 2022.
No, we don't. But here's the answer. The mayors of this country have figured it out, Melody. They got the answer. Free money for all. That's what it says.
That's why mayors, they're mayors.
Hope local
they're smart.
Tests bring big change. So don't worry about it, folks. We're going to get free money. It doesn't cost anything to make it. It doesn't make the deficit any bigger. It's not going to cause inflation, and we're not going to pay it back. It's free money, Melody. All my life, I tried to find free money. You know,
There really is a money tree.
There's a Santa Claus. By triggering $1,400 stimulus checks for millions of Americans, expanding the child tax credit for many families, the pandemic offered a clear takeaway for some officials. That putting tax dollars in people's pockets is achievable and can be a lifetime and can be a lifeline to those struggling to get by. Putting tax dollars in the pockets of people, folks, please let that sink in. Tax dollars means you pay it. If they put it in your pocket, they take it out of your pocket first or later. Now, a growing number of mayors and other leaders say they want to determine for sure whether programs like these are the best way to reduce poverty, lessen inequality, and get people working. I remember Johnson's, and I was just a boy, so I don't remember much about it as far as when it happened, but Johnson's war on poverty. It didn't change a thing. It made things worse, folks. In experiments across the country, dozens of cities and counties, some using money from the $1.9 trillion COVID relief package approved in March, and the state of California are giving some low-income residents a guaranteed income, $500,000 each month, to do with as they please and tracking what happens.
How much, Butch?
$500,000 a month.
$500,000, not $500,000, right?
Right. A coalition known as Mayors for a Guaranteed Income, I like that name, Mayors for a Guaranteed Income, plans to use the data collected alongside a University of Pennsylvania-based research center to lobby the White House and Congress for a federal guaranteed income. For starters, to make the $300 per month child tax credit that's set to expire after this year permanent. The surge in interest in these so-called free money pilot programs shows how quickly the concept of just handing out cash, no strings attached, has shifted from far-fetched ideas to a serious policy proposal. And that, my friends, in itself is scary. Even as critics blast the programs as unaffordable or discouraging people from going to work, supporters say it's all due to COVID-19, which cost millions of people their jobs and prompted the federal government under both presidents Donald Trump and Joe Biden to cut checks to rescue the economy, relief that was hugely popular politically. The pandemic showed us what's possible, said Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti, whose latest budget included $24 million guaranteed income program to give 2,000 poor families $1,000 per month. We're now going to be a pretty potent lobby to get the child tax credit permanent. Are you hearing, Melody, what we're saying? Are we understanding what we're reading? The COVID was another step to take us down the path to total communism, socialism, and people have tasted it, and most of them love it. Isn't that how it always works?
Well, sure. It's nice, you know, and we're not against helping people, and that's what they always throw at, you know, those who disagree with the principle of it all. You know, say, oh, you don't like that. No, that's not true at all. However, this is not right. How long do you continue to help people? It's not helping people. That's the problem. It's not.
And there is no such thing as free money.
No.
There's no such
Somebody's
thing as free
gonna
lunch.
Pay for it. Who's it gonna, you know, there's gonna come a time when people get tired of paying it.
Absolutely.
They're not gonna pay it anymore. It's like, why should I pay for somebody else to not work when I have to work 80 hours
sure.
a week to support my family, and then somebody else's too? I have to support another family that I don't even know.
We've been doing that for years. They're just increasing burden on us.
So charities. Look at charities. Look how much they've fallen. Why? Because people are giving so much to government. My tax guy asked me one time, he says, how much did you pay in charities this year? And I says, well, you got my tax bill. Figure it out.
It's
all these, but all these benefits and social programs, that's charity. We should be able to deduct that.
My mom's mom, my grandma, as a little boy, used to say, poor is as poor does. And what she meant by that was, poor people, if they can get by being poor, don't mind being poor.
No.
So that's just the way it is.
And life really is about, you know, I shared this story when we were down in Nicaragua. I mean, you want to talk poor? And yet those people had smiles on their faces. They waved. They were happy to see you. Everybody, they had more, I don't know if they had more freedom, but they
had more joy.
Had more joy, it seemed.
I agree.
Of course, it could have been
totally
a front,
agree.
Too.
But I don't think all of them would be good at being a front. I really don't. I noticed a few times that we went to Tijuana, down the BioCare Hospital, and went uptown talking to people. According to our standards, they're not doing so well. But like you said, most of them are friendly, jolly people.
What upsets me, Butch, is you keep hearing people say we're the richest nation in this country, in the world.
Yeah.
We're the richest nation in the world. Then why do we have to help people out of poverty? Why are they in poverty then?
And growing every year in poverty. I mean, more poverty every year. Go figure.
It's because we took the ambition from them. Government took the ambition from them. Government took jobs away. Gave them to somebody else. Gave them to another country to help those people at the expense of ours.
That's very true.
I don't know. That's how I see it. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but that's how I see it.
No, you're right. And who was it said, you know, you give somebody a fish, you feed them one day, teach them how to fish, you feed them for a lifetime?
Yeah.
Well, you keep getting the fish, why should you learn to fish?
Yep.
And what does that do? Makes you dependent on the one that's feeding you too, doesn't it?
So yes, it does.
You'll give up anything you have just to feed your family, won't you? Folks, this is a snare set by Satan himself. And we walked right into it, both eyes open, both greedy hands reaching out to grab it. And that's a fact. That's a fact. Now, here's something that I think is telling also. Between April and June, I didn't think I'd ever see this, Toyota sold 688,813 vehicles in the United States, giving it a razor-thin edge margin of victory over GM. It's the first time a Japanese car maker took the top position in the U.S., That's telling, Melody. That's telling.
Yes, it is.
GM has fallen back again, and GM used to be the banner, what am I looking for? It used to be the standard everybody went by in the country. GM was GM.
It was an indicator of our economy, the strength of our economy.
It was. And now Japan has sold a car in this country more than the first time in history. That they beat the U.S. dealerships and selling cars in the U.S. That's another nail in the coffin of our country's trade and supply. That's all there is to it. And consumer demand for auto loans and leases, general purpose credit cards, and personal loans were up 39% in April, compared with the same period last year, according to the credit reporting from Equifax. Lenders had already extended a record number of auto loans and leases in March. So things are booming in some areas, I guess. People going in debt more and more. I said loans. I didn't say cash. They're borrowing the money. Our nation runs on credit, and most people run their lives on credit.
Yeah.
As long as we can make the payments, we get to keep those things. But if the job is gone or something else happens, we lose those things because they're not ours. That's why you need something put back that you can cash in if you have to save your home. Save your automobile. Folks, these are common sense ideas. And this is interesting, too. Just 56% of Generation Z and 58% of millennials said they always tip servers at sit-down restaurants, compared with 80% of Generation Xers and 88% of baby boomers, according to a study for creditcards.com. So, looks like, Melody, my generation is more generous to waitresses and waiters than the Generation Z, millennials, or Generation Xers. So how about that?
Oh, that's interesting.
It is interesting, isn't it?
Well, that's big. I'm not going to say it. It's not nice.
Okay, whatever you say. And you go believe this one. I read it. I thought this is really amusing.
Still living at home.
Well, that's true. Good week for the hoi polloi. After Queen Elizabeth II opened, now listen, folks, this is for real, opened the gardens at the Buckingham Palace to the public for summer picnics for the first time to raise revenues for the royals. That's what I said. For $23, about 2,000 people a day will enjoy the lawns and the gardens, but no alcohol, please. The royals went into business for themselves. You want a picnic here? Sure, $23. To raise revenue for the royals. I never thought they were hurting that bad. Did you?
It's called inflation. They don't make it, so they have to go get more.
I mean, we're laughing, but I'm thinking about that. Really, for the royals now, this is something. Is this something to think about? I mean, I wouldn't have thought that the king and queen would be having to do that just to pay the bills. I don't know. And a bad week for renters after a 160-square-foot micro studio in Vancouver advertised for $500 a month was revealed to be a bathroom with a bed stuck in a corner just feet from the toilet. This unit is ideal for a single individual, landlord wrote, who does not need much space. $500 for a room and a bath and a bed in. A room and a toilet and a bed right in the same place. 600 square feet. I'm sorry, 106 square feet. That's a tiny little space, folks. Just enough room for a toilet and a bed.
That's all you need.
$500 a month. That's, I guess it is, yeah. And I got to share this because this is kind of sad but amusing. A Washington Post food writer is advising people to stop calling foods exotic because it references xenophobic and racism. Reinforces xenophobia and racism. And S.H.G. Danielia Garcia argued that the word reflects a dominant perspective that diminishes other cultures and lengthens the metaphysical distance between one group of humans and another. So don't call exotic food. It reinforces xenophobia and racism.
Okay.
Where do these people come from? Where do they come from? Where do they come from? I just marvel. I suppose they think they're intelligent people. But where do they come from? Some team had to change the names again. I forget which one it was. They were called the Indians.
Cleveland.
Cleveland. Oh, that's right. Cleveland Indians. That's Cleveland. Right. They want to be the Guardians now.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have a T-shirt with the Cleveland Indian picture on it. I wasn't a Cleveland Indian fan, but I had it, bought it somewhere. Somebody gave it to me. And a preacher I knew was from Cleveland. He said, I love that T-shirt. So I gave it to him. But anyway, now you don't want to wear it. I had a picture of an Indian in front of it, and it said Cleveland Indians. I didn't know I was being offensive to anybody. I didn't. There's another group called the Bucks is going to change their name, even though they have a picture of a buck on their emblem, a deer or whatever, because it refers to male Indians also back in the day. So,
The deer?
The name Buck. The name Buck was a name, was a slang name for a male Indian.
Oh.
Yeah, that was what they called him. So they said that could be offensive, so they're going to take that off.
Hmm.
Isn't that wonderful? I'm glad we live in such a sensitive, intelligent nation.
I really do think we have bigger fish to fry, but did you hear about Trump's friend Tom Barrack?
No.
He ordered released on a $250 million bond. I think it's the largest bond ever written in the world.
$250 million bond?
Yeah.
Wow.
$250 million. It's the highest ever set in the world to be secured by $5 million cash and another $21.23 million in securities and his home in California. And for those who don't know him, him and his co-defendant, Matthew Grimes, which is a 27-year-old business associate, they've been in jail since Tuesday when they were arrested in L.A. on an indictment that was issued by the Brooklyn, New York federal court based on trying to influence President Trump's foreign policy at the direction of senior UAE officials. So $250 million. So.
Oh, my. My goodness, that's hard to imagine making come up that kind of.
But yet they let a murderer out. Wasn't he a murderer they left out because the district attorney didn't show up?
Yeah, technicality. Yes.
On a technicality.
Yes.
Look what they and look what, yeah, amazing.
Our justice system is no longer justice. It's upside down. It's backward. And it's just insane. But so is there most of our nation. I'm not picking on anything in particular, but it's insane. The ideas and the consequences of these ideas keep coming out every day. And makes somebody with a little bit of common sense just sit back and scratch your head and wonder, how did we do that? What was the point of this? What advantage did we get out of this? These are the things that we need to ask yourself. What is this doing for our country? A court in California, I guess it's a third district court, said that they, or ninth district court, I'm sorry, ninth I believe it was, said that they don't have to, the educators don't have to use the proper pronoun if it doesn't work for the gender. In other words, you can call, if they're a boy, call them boy, whether they like it or not, you know, because you infringe on free speech. And I say that's a good decision, but I never thought I'd have to see a day we have to take it to a court to call boy, boy, and girl, girl. This is America today.
Hey, we're heading into
this.
This is a program break we're heading into right now. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Well, we talked about just about everything.
Yeah, we
talked about many things.
Yes, we did. Next, we're going to talk about Yellen, but you go ahead and say anything you want to say before I get started.
No, I'm done.
I'm all ears.
I'm all ears.
And this, how many times have we heard this? Yellen wants debt limit raised by August 2nd. Warns U.S. may need extraordinary measures to avoid default. Melody, how many times have we heard this same story? Too many to remember.
Too many to remember.
Yep. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen answers questions during the Senate Appropriations Summit Subcommittee, hearing to examine the fiscal year 22 budget request of the Treasury Department on Capitol Hill. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen on Friday warned Congress that her department will need to embark on extraordinary measures on August 2nd to prevent the U.S. government from defaulting if lawmakers are unable to strike a deal to raise or extend the debt ceiling. In a letter to the House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Yellen puts lawmakers on notice that the Treasury Department will suspend the sale of bonds in July, the avenue by which the U.S. finances its debt obligations. On August 2nd, Treasury would start taking extraordinary measures, but to pay for Congress's legal and financial obligations, a temporary fix that allows Secretary to tap additional government accounts for a period of weeks. The extraordinary measures, if they stop funding bonds, what would that mean to the general public? And to businesses.
Yes.
What would that mean to businesses if they stop funding bonds? What would that mean to
and
the people?
It's a default on the debt.
What would that mean to us?
Everything else gets defaulted on. And that means all of our assets get revalued. People's retirement accounts go from where they are now down to... One, they'll lose however they're adjusted, 50%, 70%. A third of all retirement accounts have treasuries in them. So a third of your retirement account is backed by treasuries. Everybody thinks that they're guaranteed by the government. The government doesn't guarantee that.
No, they don't.
That's the biggest scam of all time. They're not guaranteed.
No.
Government can't guarantee it. Backed by the faith of really
credit and faith of the American government, the credit and faith the FDIC can't even guarantee your bank account.
No,
they can't do it, folks. It's not possible. Any number.
Yesterday there was big headlines where the world had internet outages all over the place. Can't find a peep about it today. Not a peep. So.
Yeah. It's just, I'm thinking about this and watching this happen. And remember when Trump was first, second year in office, they almost didn't get the budget approved in time. Remember the panic over that? It's all over the news. They were holding off on increasing the debt on the budget. Folks, this isn't anything new. And it'll get through. It has to. They have no choice. They have to get it or everything will collapse, and that isn't what they want, I don't think, yet. But on the other hand, Americans spend again, and American Express profit surges. Again, going back to credit, folks. American Express, spending at restaurants, shops, and entertainment venues has come back in force as vaccines become more common and have fueled a revenue surge at American Express during the second quarter. That momentum picked up as the quarter progressed, the company said Friday, particularly spending from younger customers. We We saw card member spending accelerate from the prior quarter and exceed pre-pandemic levels in June, with the largest portion of this spending growth coming from Millennial, Generation Z, and small business customers. Revenue hit revenue net of interest expense jumped $10.24 billion from $7.68 billion last year, stronger than the $9.47 billion that Wall Street was looking for. Shares of American Express Company climbed 3.4% at the opening bell. Demand for fee-based platinum cards is getting stronger, Scorey said, and American Express registered 2.4 million new cards in the quarter. The newer company earned $2.28 billion, or $2.08 per share, for the 3 months ended June 30th. A year earlier, it earned $257 million, or 29 cents per share. The current quarter included $866 million in credit reserve releases. Now, think about it, Melody. It went from $257 million last year to $2.28 billion this year. That's huge.
It is.
I mean, that's 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is Americans used a credit card with $2.2 billion in debt, does it not?
That's what I expect it means.
So there you go. And we're doing this, and everything looks rosy, I guess, to most people. It seems like it is. I mean, I know car dealers are selling cars faster than they get them in. They're actually begging people to come and sell them their used cars. They need cars. And people are buying cars. And I think paying ridiculous prices for them. I don't think it. I know they are. So one day soon, this is going to bite a lot of people in the butt, Melody. And it's going to hurt. Because we think we're America and nothing bad going to happen to us. It never has. We'll go through it. The Depression was a blip on the screen. That's been so long ago nobody remembers it. 2008's been 13 years ago. Who remembers that even? Think about that. Who remembers that?
What year?
2008.
What happened?
Yeah, you don't remember what happened? Yeah, I knew you remember what happened in 2008. But this is what, and now with the virus scam, businesses that went down, and I guess they're trying to regroup, but businesses that had to depend on government handouts to do it, and people are spending because they're getting money coming in. Now, listen to what's going on in Lebanon, folks. And you say, well, that's Lebanon. That's a small country. Can't happen to us. We're the richest nation in the world. Who are you kidding? We're the most indebted nation in the world. America used to loan to the countries. Now we owe other nations. We owe more money than any nation in the world. We are not the richest people, the richest country. We run on credit, folks. Credit is not wealth. Credit is debt. Melody, I don't want to get carried away here, but I'm making sense on that.
You go, Butch.
I mean, well, I got a $500,000 house and got a 30-year mortgage I can't afford to pay it. Guess what? You don't have a $500,000 house. Nope. The bank may have it if you can't pay for it, but it's not yours. And if you do finally get the deed for it, it's not yours. You don't pay tax on either. But the point of it is you don't have what is not paid for. It's not yours. That's why the Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender, or even say slave to the lender, because it's not yours. As long as you're paying for it and owe on it, you're just using it as somebody else's, grace until you can't pay for it, then take it back. You do not own something you're still paying for.
And the whole thing of it is, Butch, they don't want us to own anything, because once we own it, then they can't control us, we control them.
Of course.
So they don't want us to own anything. Government wants to own it all. They want to deal it out. They want to send out the little checks. They want to do this. They want to do all that, all in the name of helping people. And it really is. And I know we have to have a government. I'm not anti-government.
No.
I'm not anti-government at all. But the programs that they've created and the way that they have become so, the way it has become so corrupt, overgrown, too big, whatever you want to call it, it's wrong. But Butch, maybe, I don't know, how is it really supposed to be?
Well, greed, the love of money, is still the root of all evil.
True.
Always will be. Governments are not entities like we consider individuals. They're individuals, but they hold the force of guns and power behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And when governments become greedy, they become tyrants.
Yes.
But anyway, Lebanon's people line up in queues of humiliation as your country unravels. Another country, folks, going down the tubes. Fill her up. Be ready to wait in line at least an hour, assuming the gas station is open, that is. Need medication? Something as basic as aspirin could set you on a day-long hunt from pharmacy to pharmacy. Even a grocery run is an ever-accelerating race against ballooning prices and a falling currency. Now let that sink in. I just said it. Ballooning prices and a falling currency. Inflation on food will be up 14% by October. That's a ballooning price. That's a falling currency. It's the same thing. And whatever you do, you'll need to time it around power cuts that can last up to 23 hours a day. All they're doing right now, folks, in Texas and California, rolling outages. Oh, yes, they are. And it's coming to your home. This is life in Lebanon these days, where a 21-month-long government-engineered economic implosion, the World Bank calls it a deliberate depression, has transformed everyday tasks into a gauntlet of fuel, power, water, medicine, and basic good shortages. The residents dub against Talabur al-Hol, which or queers chews of humiliation. This is Lebanon. When I said the government engineered the economic explosion, I don't know whether that's true or not, but it's still there. What better way to bring a people to their knees than to cut off the supplies? Melody, I don't want to add to that. That is a shame, is it not?
It really is. You know, we talked about the rolling brownouts that we have here. That's our infrastructure. We can't handle a hot day or a cold day.
Well, you see now why the government don't want you to have wooden coal heat. If you got a wood stove in front of your room, a warm morning stove, just a stove, a freestanding stove with a chimney going out the top, you can heat your house with wood and a chunk of coal, keep the house warm all night long. I know that, folks. I've done it for years. We got ourselves convenience right into the corner. We got to have electricity to run our heat pumps and take care of our homes. When you have a wooden coal stove, you don't need electricity to get heat out of it. Wood produces its own heat. And these are things people have got to understand. I still have a wooden coal furnace in my basement, although I didn't use it much last year. But I have it, Melody. It is usable, and I'm not going to get rid of it. If I need it, I still have heat. Is that a good idea?
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, that's independence. That's why they don't want you to have cash. Cash in your hand is privacy. Even though it's fiat currency, it's still accepted for something. It's privacy. It's independence. It's immunity from government intercession and inspections. It's free to that. You can buy yourself a car or a truck with cash or a gun or whatever, storable foods, pay cash. Now, if you buy a car, of course, truck, they're going to have it registered. But if you buy a gun or something, you don't have to register it. You buy something that you don't want anybody to know about, big deal. It's your business, your money. But America is going down the tube because we become dependent on the government more and more every day. And I'm guilty. I get a Social Security check every month. I'm guilty. But I'm telling you, folks, it's going to come to an end. Melody, any comments on that?
Nope, I think you've said it all.
I mean, this is really getting serious. And I want to just skim through the next few real quickly here. Some Sacramento businesses require proof of vaccination upon entry. It's coming to America, folks. No proof of vaccine, no entry without a mask. It's a new policy some Sacramento businesses are adopting for safety reasons as concern over Delta variant increases. And folks, 84% of the ones that get the Delta variant have got the vaccinations. Let that sink in. All right? Let that sink in. To get to the climbing wall in Sacramento's pipe works, you either have to show your vaccination card and you're allowed to climb without a mask, or you have to wear your mask, said Liz Allen, a climber. Right now, we just want every business to be open, and we have to support them by following these rules. Top health official orders Australians don't have a conversation with each other. I'm not making it up. The chief health official of New South Wales gave a press conference telling Australians that they shouldn't engage in conversation with each other even if they are wearing masks in order to reduce the transmission of COVID. And that's, folks, that's real. Dr. Kerry Chant made the remarks in response to people in New South Wales being ordered to comply with yet another lockdown triggered by just a handful of new cases, which include a man in Cootamundra who visited the Woolworths supermarket, Pizza Hut restaurant, petrol station, and an office work store. Whilst it's human nature to encourage in a conversation, to engage in conversation with others, to be friendly, unfortunately, this is not the time to do that. So if you run into a next-door neighbor at the shopping center, don't start a conversation. Now's the time for minimizing your interactions with others, even if you've got a mask. Do not think that affords total protection. We want to be absolutely sure that as we go about our daily lives, we do not come in contact with anyone else that would pose a risk. Melody, how draconian is that?
You know, I was having this conversation this morning about what they're going to do towards the unvaccinated here soon. And an NFL coach was fired for refusing the vaccine. The Vikings coach Rick Dennison leaves the team after refusing to get the vaccine. Fired.
That is very true. You can read these things. And why do you think they took Australia's guns several years ago? That actually disarmed the people. They did. Folks, that's a fact.
Hey, and we're out of time.
Oh, we're out of time.
We're out of time.
Okay.
Sorry.
Wow.
You can keep going, but I don't think Todd's going to allow it. But hey, we'll be back on Monday. So until then, be safe. Good night and God bless. Thank you, Butch.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's you, Brad.